Hey, how's everybody doing? Hotep. Hey, this is Michael M. Hotep, founder of the African History Network, host of the African History Network show. I'm a talk show host, researcher, lecturer, and writer. Wanted to come on and talk for a few minutes here. Did not get a chance to broadcast earlier in the day. So we know there was a tragic school shooting today in Parkland, Florida. 17 people killed. At least 50 people injured, right? Some of you saw the post that I did earlier in the day dealing with the White House daily press briefing that was first postponed and then canceled, okay? So I want to talk a little bit about that tonight or today. I want to talk a little bit about that, all right? So share this broadcast on your own Facebook page. Invite your friends to tune in also. How's everybody doing? All right. So, you know, we post the White House daily briefings. We broadcast those live here on our Facebook fan page, the African History Network, right? Almost every day we post those. And I watch them live, okay? So they usually schedule between 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., all right? TheHill.com has a really good article about this that came out at TheHill.com. This article was posted at 9:49 p.m. today, all right? So I posted the meme on my personal page and the African History Network Facebook fan page, all right? Everybody share this broadcast on your own Facebook page. Invite your friends to tune in also. A lot of people commented on the post that I did earlier today. But I said that because I was waiting for the press briefing to take place, okay? It was scheduled originally for 1 p.m. Wednesday, February 14th, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, okay? And I said that the White House press briefing was postponed and then canceled, okay? And I said they were trying to get their lives together, all right? So if you look at what's been happening, first of all, it was first postponed from 1 p.m. to about 2:30 p.m. or 3 p.m., okay? It was postponed before the shooting took place, number one. It was first postponed before the shooting took place, all right? If you watched the briefing yesterday, and we broadcasted the briefing on our fan page, the African History Network, yesterday, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the White House press secretary, got her behind kicked because it was on Tuesday that it was on Tuesday. So the last briefing was on Tuesday. Earlier in the day on Tuesday, FBI Director Christopher Wray talked about how they had actually concluded the background check of Rob Parker in July of 2017. It was, for all practical purposes, concluded, and he did not pass the background check. The timeline that Christopher Wray talked about under oath, testifying in front of Congress, contradicted what the White House has been saying for the past 7 days. So they didn't want to have to deal with that, number one, okay? Because she got a behind kick. Yes, she got a behind kick on Tuesday in the press briefing. And we broadcast it on our Facebook fan page, the African History Network. You can go back and watch it. Two, later in the day on Tuesday, February 13th, later in the day on Tuesday, the story broke about Donald Trump's longtime attorney, Michael Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, who said that he was the one who paid the $130,000 to former adult film star Stormy Daniels, okay, in October 2016, a month before the election took place. And he said he used his own money to pay it and was not reimbursed by the Trump campaign or anything like this. That story broke on Tuesday, February 13th, after the White House press briefing, the White House daily press briefing. So that's a why would an attorney pay $130,000 out of his own pocket for to pay off somebody for his client? That doesn't even make sense. And has not been reimbursed. The White House does not want to have to answer that question. Because in all this time that this story has broken, and it came out that Michael Cohen set up an LLC to pay the money, then dissolved the LLC. It was Tuesday was the first time that we heard that Trump's own attorney paid the money out of his own pocket. That had not been talked about before then. White House doesn't want to, they don't want to answer that question. That's number two. Okay. Number three, they don't want to have to deal with any questions about the shooting in Parkland, Florida. That's the 18th school shooting this year. February 14th, not even two full months into the year, you've had 18 school shootings. That only takes place on that scale in the U.S. They don't want to answer that question. That's number three. Earlier in the day on Wednesday, and if you saw the reporting on MSNBC or CNN, Donald Trump was there was a press briefing, a very short press briefing, and he said that he condemned, I'm paraphrasing, but he said he condemned domestic violence and things like this, right? And he basically says something, you know, I shouldn't have to say this, etc. The reason why he said that publicly is because at the Tuesday White House daily press briefing that Sarah Huckabee Sanders gave, she made a statement on behalf of Donald Trump saying that he condemned all forms of domestic violence. Well, the press, the reporters that were there, they said, wait a second. Why hasn't Trump come out and said that himself? Trump has tweeted about Rob Parker, okay, having to resign, and he talked about how a person's life could be ruined by allegations, right? When he tweeted about Rob Parker, Trump didn't say anything about Rob Parker's two ex-wives that are alleging domestic violence. Okay, he didn't talk about the restraining order that one of his ex-wives had against him. So when Trump has talked about this in the past, he did not condemn domestic violence. So how is it all of a sudden at the Tuesday, February 13th White House press briefing, Sarah Huckabee Sanders comes out with statements that she said are from Donald Trump, saying things we've never heard Trump say? Just a couple of days ago, Trump talked live about it, and it was broadcasting, okay? And he didn't make those statements about condemning domestic violence. So how is it all of a sudden on Wednesday, February 14th, he makes these statements? Was that his Valentine's Day message to women? So there are a number of things that they did not want to have to talk about on Wednesday. So if we look at the article from thehill.com, right, we look at the article from thehill.com, and share this broadcast on your own Facebook page, invite your friends to tune in, okay? We're posting a link here from the article from thehill.com, right? So this article was posted 9:49 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday, February 14th. White House plans to skip press briefing for a second consecutive day. Now, this is what I was explaining to people, because I watch these briefings on a daily basis. We broadcast them on our Facebook fan page, the African History Network, live, so you can see what's going on. Because what they're talking about in those press briefings deal with policy, and policy impacts every aspect of our lives. Politics impacts every aspect of our lives, okay? Politics is the legal distribution of scarce wealth, power, and resources, and the writing of laws, statutes, ordinances, amendments, and treaties, and their adoption, interpretation, and enforcement. This is politics. So if we look at this, White House plans to skip press briefing for second consecutive day. So the meme that I posted earlier today, the Facebook post that I did, It said White House press briefing that was supposed to happen at 1 p.m. pushed back to 4 p.m. They are trying to get their lies straight. So I posted that before they announced they were canceling the press briefing. Okay. So in this article from thehill.com, and The Hill has a lot of good political reporting, it says the White House's public schedule of events for Thursday, February 15th, does not include a press briefing that are supposed to take place daily, by the way, or any public events for Donald Trump a day after a mass shooting at a Florida high school. Well, that's very strange for him not to have anything scheduled publicly, because that's not the way President Obama did it. That's very strange for him not to have anything scheduled publicly and no White House daily press briefing schedule. Now, earlier on Wednesday, February 14th. Oh, by the way, February 14th is Frederick Douglass' assumed birthday. So happy birthday to Frederick Douglass also. Now, contrary to what Trump thinks, Frederick Douglass is still not alive. Frederick Douglass died in 1895. Frederick Douglass did not know the date of his birth. He did not know exactly the year he was born. He knew it was either 1817 or 1818. So he took the birth date. He assumed the birth date of February 14th. Okay. So February 14th is Frederick Douglass' assumed birthday. Okay. And you saw the broadcast we did, the live broadcast we did from the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History on Tuesday, February 13th, when one of my teachers, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, was there speaking, and also Dr. Imani, Jocelyn Imani. And they dealt with the life and times of Frederick Douglass. Okay. So you can check those two videos out, part one and two, and our Facebook fan page, the African History Network. So I also put it on my personal page, Michael M. Hotel. All right. So earlier on Wednesday, February 14th, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders announced that the day's press briefing would be canceled following the shooting at the Broward County, Florida school. Okay. She said, quote, "In light of this tragedy, there will not be a regularly scheduled briefing as previously announced." Okay. She said in a statement, "We will inform you as more information is available." Now, Wednesday's briefing was originally scheduled for 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but was moved back to 3 p.m. and then moved back to 4 p.m. before it was actually canceled. It was already postponed before the shooting took place. I'm telling you, they did not want to answer these questions. If you go back and watch the briefing from Tuesday, February 13th, Sarah Huckabee Sanders had to backtrack on her assertiveness on some of these previous statements and some of these lies that had been that they had told. Okay. And also, Chief of Staff John Kelly is vulnerable and he'll probably be fired. Now, I'm seeing one report on this is that he would have already been fired if Trump had somebody to replace him with. But think about it. Who wants to be Chief of Staff in the Trump administration? And you see that the Mueller investigation is heating up and escalating. And if you're Chief of Staff, right, there's no telling what you're going to hear, what you're going to be involved in, and then you may have to be questioned by Mueller's team, which means you're going to have to hire an attorney, which costs money. So who in their white right mind that's not already in the administration will want to then come into that situation? So it was moved from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., then to 4 p.m. before it was canceled. Okay, as details of the school shooting in Parkland, Florida emerged, and the incident began to blanket the national cable news. Okay, so the Thursday event schedule for Thursday, February 15th, was released Wednesday night. It contains no White House daily press briefing and no public appearances by Donald Trump. It's unclear if the White House will add a briefing to the schedule on Thursday. They may add it on Thursday, but you have them daily. So why wouldn't you have it scheduled Wednesday night for the next day? Because you know they take place daily. That's why they're called the White House daily press briefing. So Trump was briefed on the shooting earlier on Wednesday, according to the White House, and has been in contact with state officials in the state of Florida about the incident. So we know at least 17 people were killed. We know at least 50 were injured. This took place at a high school in Parkland, Florida. Okay. Very tragic event. 18 school shooting this year. Trump is a big advocate of the Second Amendment, big advocate of the NRA, National Rifle Association. Okay. Trump doesn't want to have to answer in these questions, and neither does Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Now, the sheriff's office later identified the shooting suspect as a 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz, who's a former student at the school. At that school, he's been expelled. He's enrolled in another school. Okay, he was left back twice. Clearly has some mental issues. Now, the absence of a daily briefing on Thursday schedule means the White House will not answer questions on camera about the school shooting and also surrounding the controversy of the handling of domestic abuse allegations against former staff secretary Rob Porter, as well as other issues of the day. Now, the other thing that they don't want to have to answer, like I said in the beginning, they don't want to have to answer about attorney Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's attorney, longtime attorney, who has admitted that he paid $130,000 out of his own pocket to pay off Stormy Daniels. Okay, a former adult film star who alleged a sexual encounter with Donald Trump while 4 months after Melania gave birth to Barron, Donald Trump's son. They don't have to answer that. The other thing is Stormy Daniels' attorneys are now saying, and Stormy Daniels apparently said in a statement today, everything is off now, and Stormy is going to tell her story, the manager for Stormy Daniels said. So what Stormy Daniels is saying now is that because attorney Cohen has spilled the beans about the payment to her, then the non-disclosure agreement has been broken, and now she's free to talk. White House doesn't want to deal with that either. The other thing is that we knew Monday and Tuesday that there were 30 to 40 people in the White House who have not, whose FBI background checks have not been completed. 30 to 40. If we look at the reporting from NBC News from this evening, you have about 130. As of November 2017, you have about 130 people working in the White House whose background checks have not been completed. They don't want to have to answer that. Okay? So it's going to be interesting to see if they're going to have one Thursday, if they're going to schedule one Thursday, just skip it all together. Now, former President Barack Obama appeared in the White House briefing room on several occasions following mass shootings, including on the day of the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School that left 20 students and 6 staff members dead. President Obama did not run away from this. They didn't cancel White House daily press briefings because of a school shooting. President Obama oftentimes spoke on the day that these school shootings took place. Trump is staying silent, and they don't want to talk the day after. But the fact that you have, now, first of all, this is the most, I've been doing radio, this is my 8th year doing radio. I do radio here in Detroit, 910 AM, the Superstation, WFDF. I've done national radio for years, the Michael Imhotep Show on the Empowerment Radio Network. I guest hosted dozens of times for Roland Martin on his national radio show, the Roland Martin Show. I guest hosted for Warren Ballantyne for about 3 months. So I've been doing radio going back to 2010. Okay. This is the most incompetent White House I have ever heard or seen. This is the most unqualified, incompetent White House I have ever heard or seen. if we look at the article that was posted 10:56 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday, February 14th, NBCNews.com, scores of top White House officials lack permanent security clearances. Scores of top White House officials lack permanent security clearance. We'll post the link of the article here on the thread of the broadcast here on Facebook. You need to read this. This is something else they don't want to have to answer. They don't want to have to answer this question, but it's not going to go anywhere. It's just going to continue to fester and gain steam. More than 130 political appointees working in the executive office of the president did not have permanent security clearances as of November 2017. He took the oath of office January 20th, 2017. More than 130 political appointees working in the executive office of the president did not have permanent security clearances as of November 2017, including the president's daughter, Ivanka Trump, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who owes Deutsche Bank about $285 million, and Deutsche Bank got popped a few years ago and had to pay a $600 million fine to the U.S. government for laundering $10 billion in money from Russia. Oh, by the way, Donald Trump owes Deutsche Bank about $300 million. I'm telling you, this is much deeper than anybody thinks, because one of the things that Mueller's investigating is not just obstruction of justice. It's not just collusion with Russia or conspiracy, because collusion is not a crime, but conspiracy is. Something else Mueller is investigating is money laundering. And you're going to find out that this is also involving money laundering. And it's not just Paul Manafort. No. One of those appointees working with interim clearances, of those appointees working with interim clearances, 47 of them are in positions that report directly to Donald Trump. About one quarter of all political appointees in the executive office are working with some form of interim security clearance. This is ridiculous. You got more than 130 political appointees working in the executive office of the president did not have permanent security clearances as of November 2017. Now, White House officials said Wednesday, February 14th, they would not comment, as is their policy, on the nature of security clearances. CNN also reported of the clearances earlier on Wednesday evening. It is unclear whether some employees have had their clearances levels changed since mid-November. But when you look at Rob Parker's was complete as far as the FBI was concerned in July of 2017, and he did not pass his background check. Now, there was some more information that surfaced, and the FBI relayed that information, I think it was twice, to the White House. But for all practical purposes, they knew back in July, the FBI knew back in July 2017, this, he did not pass it, and they let and going back to January 2017, they let White House counsel Don McGahn know, look, there's problems with this guy and his background check. Now, the White House staff secretary is the person who handles all of the paperwork going to the president and coming from the president. All this declassified information or classified information, top secret information, the White House staff secretary sees all this and handles all that paperwork. The documents also show that 10 months into Trump's administration, at least 85 political appointees in the White House, Vice President's office, and National Security Council were working without permanent security clearances. A lot of these people are open to being blackmailed. About 50 appointees were operating with interim security clearances while serving in offices closely linked to the West Wing, such as the National Economic Council, the Office of Management and Budget, the OMB. That's Mick Mulvaney, who heads up the OMB, Office of Management and Budget, the U.S. Trade Representative, and the White House Executive Residence. White House officials who are listed as not having permanently, who are listed as not having permanent security clearances as recently as November 2017 include Ivanka Trump, Trump's daughter. What's in her background that she can't pass an FBI background check? What's in her background she can't pass an FBI background check? Senior advisor Jared Kushner. We know Kushner's had a lot of contacts with Russia. What's in his background that he can't pass an FBI background check? Dan Scavino, the president's director of social media, and Christopher Liddell, assistant to the president for strategic initiatives, according to the documents. Check out the rest of this article. This is the most, if anything like this happened under President Obama, Republicans would have drawn up articles of impeachment against President Obama, and they would have had a trial. If anything like this happened in the Obama administration, this is the most incompetent, unqualified, corrupt, I'm saying corrupt. This is the most incompetent, unqualified, corrupt White House I've ever heard or seen. All right, so we posted the link to the article from NBCNews.com. Share this broadcast to your own Facebook page. Invite your friends to tune in also. This article was just posted 10:56 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday, February 14th. Scores of top White House officials lack permanent security clearances. Okay, and they did a good job on this. They reported on this Wednesday night on MSNBC. I know on The Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell, the 11th hour, Brian Williams, 11th hour, because I watched that. Okay. All right. Hey, we also have the link here for the how's everybody doing this evening? Okay, we'll come to some of your comments in just a minute here. I wanted to come on and talk about this topic because I saw some of the posts. When I did my post earlier today and talked about the them postponing, then canceling the briefing. I was waiting on the briefing to happen because I knew it was going to be some fireworks. Then people said, oh, well, it's a school shooting. No. They pushed it back before the school shooting was announced. Okay, they pushed it back before the school shooting was announced. All right, also, we have the link here in the description of the broadcast, and it's also pinned here, about the online course that I teach called Ancient Kemet, the Moors, and the Ma'afa, Understanding the Transatlantic Slave Trade, what they didn't teach you in school. So we know this is African-American History Month, right? February. African-American History Month, formerly called Black History Month, founded by Dr. Carter G. Woodson. Dr. Carter G. Woodson was the principal founder and co-founder of the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History in 1915. Then it became... now it's called the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. But we have the information here and the link. You can register for the online course that I teach. It's all pre-recorded. I did it in August and September 2017. It's a 14-hour, 7-session online course. We deal with thousands of years of history and thousands of years of African history, African American history. Course is only $50. There's also 20 hours of bonus content. Okay, so we deal with ancient Egypt, we talk about Nubia, we talk about other African civilizations, we deal with the transatlantic slave trade, we deal with the 800-year occupation of Europe by the Africans known as the Moors, and Christopher Columbus, his four voyages, and we deal with a chronology leading up to the transatlantic slave trade taking place also. Okay. So you can register for that. As soon as you register for that, you can start watching immediately. All right. All right. Share this broadcast on your own Facebook page and invite your friends to tune in also. Okay. So Jeff Ware said we need to change the month to April or March. Why do we need to change it to April or March? Kai Judd said, yes, celebrating Black history 365 days a year. Now, February, African American History Month was never designed to be the only time of the year we study our history. It's a celebration of our history. We're supposed to study year round. It's a celebration of our history. Dr. Carter G. Woodson never designed that to be the only time of the year we study our history. K. Judd said, continue to tell the truth and shame the devils. Vivian Abner said, you know you're right, and we're paying them to be corrupt. The taxpayers have no voice. Taxpayers do have a voice. That's why you vote. That's one of your voices. That's why you vote. When you sit at home and don't vote these jokers out of office, then you are letting them know that you are okay with what they're doing. You do have a voice. People don't understand the power that they have. You do have a voice. You have to speak up. Also, we have to engage more in targeted, sustained economic withdrawal strategies as well. We do have a voice. We have more power than we think we actually have. See, the problem is that we have been taught that we are powerless, which is not true. Okay, Victor Allen Douglas Wood said, King, keep up the good work and do your thing. I keep having to adjust my glasses. These are new glasses. I'm still trying to get used to them. I had them adjusted once, but they're still a little loose, so they keep sliding on my face, so I have to go back and get these adjusted. Sherwin Nelson Tanner. If the Obama administration did anything illegally that came to light, they should face the music, no exceptions. Okay, but I'm telling you, if anything like this happened in the Obama administration, the Republicans in the House of Representatives would have drawn up articles of impeachment against President Obama if anything like this happened. Donald said, true, let's get him out the White House. Midterm elections are extremely important. Before you get to 2020, you have midterm elections. Mueller investigation will take care of itself. Personally, I think Trump is going to be forced to resign. But when the House of Representatives flips November 6, 2018 in the midterm elections, and the U.S. Senate flips, the handwriting's on the wall. And articles of impeachment are going to be drawn up by the U.S. House of Representatives, by Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives. Is going to pass the House. The trial is held in the U.S. Senate. And when articles of impeachment are drawn up and it passes the House, Republicans will probably put pressure on Trump to resign, because Trump does not want to be put on trial. He does not want to have to answer questions under oath. And if you go back and study Watergate and Richard Nixon, even though articles of impeachment were drawn up against Richard Nixon resigned from office before he was put on trial, because Democrats were in control of both branches of Congress. And Republicans went to Nixon and put pressure on him to resign. They said it's over. They put pressure on him to resign. Trump is going to be forced to resign from office before he actually is put on trial. He's going to be forced to resign from office. If Democrats take control of the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate in midterm elections, and it looks like they will, and they should, all right? This is why African Americans have to get out and vote our interests. Put people in place whose policies match up with what your interests are. To understand what your interests are, you have to understand your history. And we need to study what happened in Alabama. Because December 12, 2017, and I've written articles about this. You can read all of my articles at AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. You can read all of my articles there. African Americans in Alabama organized, they mobilized, they helped finance their own initiatives, because they understood that Doug Jones' policies best matched up with what their issues and what their agendas were, as opposed to Roy Moore. And they voted their interest. Alabama is number one in the country in incarceration. The state of Alabama is number one in the country in incarceration. And they're 49th in the country in education. They have rampant voter suppression in Alabama. And there's rampant voter disenfranchisement for felonies, for felony convictions as well. 15% of the African-American voting age population in Alabama can't vote, because they have felonies. Less than 5% of the white voting age population in Alabama can't vote because they have felonies. And if you understand the history, of making it illegal for felons to vote that largely happens after 1870. What happens in 1870? 15th Amendment. What's the 15th Amendment? Guaranteed the right for African-American men to vote. Reconstruction ends in 1877 with the Compromise of 1877. We know largely after 1870, you're going to have these Southern states that write these laws stating ex-felons can't vote because African-Americans were being disproportionately incarcerated. So this was a form of voter suppression. And then we see after 1877, when Reconstruction ends, you see a reversing of the gains, a lot of those gains that African-Americans were making, a lot of those political gains we were making, we saw a reversing of that. This is why you have to understand history. People's history and culture teaches them how to deal with the problems of the past, in the present, and the future to meet the needs of the community. To understand what is, you must understand what was in the sequence of historical events and how the present, how the history of the past shows up in the present. This is why history is so important, one of the reasons. Okay, so we have a troll. Is getting blocked. Bye-bye, Tanner. Miriam said Ivanka can't pass because of listening to NWA. Well, I don't think it's because of listening to NWA. I think some other things in the past. Denise Hunter says, since the Republicans on the House, the Senate, and the Congress, they have to vote him out, but they're not. He doing what they want. Okay. Sherwin said, and it's against the law unless the president waived the security clearances, and even then he has to explain. Now, what people have to understand, so one person posted on Facebook, they posted a comment to one of the articles that I posted, or I think it was the post I did earlier, something to the fact that how did Trump pass his background check? The president does not need an FBI background check. There is no background check for the president. For his staff, there is. For the president, there is no background check for the president. Personally, I think that's a problem, especially when you got this Russian agent here. I mean, let's be clear. Trump is a compromised asset of Russia. Let's be clear. The Congress overwhelmingly passed new sanctions to be imposed on Russia for Russia meddling in the 2016 election. They just passed that in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Trump still has not signed that into law. Why is that? Trump is a Russian asset. He has not signed the sanctions in the law that overwhelmingly passed Congress. If you just saw the testimony from the head of the FBI, the CIA, Dan Coats, Director of National Intelligence, on Tuesday in Congress, if you saw that, FBI Director Christopher Wray said he has not been directed by Trump basically to take actions and to make sure that what happened in the 2016 election doesn't happen again. Trump has not given them any directives on that. Largely, why is that? Trump is a Russian asset. If you don't believe me, you're going to find out. I'm telling you, I've been studying this for like 2 years. Oh, no, 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 no. And one of the things you're going to find out, this is about Russian money laundering. Okay, so Rudy said, knowledge is power. Alfreda, okay. Naida said, how do we remove him? Okay. One, midterm elections. You got to vote midterm elections. Midterm elections are extremely important because any policies that we're trying to get in place on a national basis, they're drawn up by Congress. Midterm elections, then 2020. You got to vote them out of office in 2020. We can't sit at home. So what happened in 2016? Russian involvement aside, because I told people about the Russian involvement when it was taking place. If you go back, I have 800 podcasted episodes on my radio shows. AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, 800 audio podcasts. You can go back and listen to the shows during the election cycle. I was warning people about Trump. Last 30 days of the campaign, Trump mentioned WikiLeaks 164 times. ThinkProgress.org has the reporting on this. We dealt with all that. We dealt with the fact checking on Trump. Why would you mention WikiLeaks and tell people go read WikiLeaks 164 times in the last 30 days of the campaign? Here's something you should ask yourself this question. March 20th, 2017, then FBI Director James Comey testified in front of Congress. I think it was from the U.S. Senate. That was the first time that we found out that they had the FBI launched an investigation in July of 2016 into the Trump campaign and possible ties to Russia. We also found out then, March 20th, 2017, CNN.com had an article about this, and they actually had the video of Comey talking about this. The Russians also hacked the email addresses of the RNC, Republican National Committee. Why didn't WikiLeaks release those emails from the Republicans? These are questions you should ask yourself. Now, what we found out was, and what FBI Director James Comey said, was that these were old email domains from the RNC. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't valuable information in them. Why did not WikiLeaks release the hacked emails from the RNC? That's a valid question. Trump is a Russian asset. The deeper you dig into this, the more you will see. This is why he does not say anything negatively about Vladimir Putin. This is why he is not against Russia. This is why he's not signing the law of sanctions that overwhelmingly passed Congress. All right, so Derek Cargill said the intelligence community does the background checks, not the president. Correct. No, the president doesn't do the background checks. The FBI does the background check. The FBI conducts these background checks. The president doesn't conduct background checks. But they don't do a background check on the president. So for the president to be able to handle classified information, there is no background check on the president. They may have to change that law. That's based upon, if I'm understanding, that's based upon the U.S. Constitution. They may have to change that. Miriam Gulliam said, but he's a billionaire, right? Well, that's what he claims. That's what his campaign finance report claims. Was interesting, in 2015, when he submitted his campaign finance report, he estimated his net worth at $10 billion. In 2017, he submitted another, some type of other financial report, said his net worth was about $1.8 billion. What happened to the other $8 billion? What happened to the other $8 billion? Okay. Let's get some of your new comments that we'll get out of here. Roger Veal said, teach King. Okay, also, I'm going to post a link again for the online course that I teach. Ancient Kemet, the Moors, and the Ma'afa, Understanding the Transatlantic Slave Trade, what they did teach in school. We just posted that link. It's also at our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. You can register there. It's all pre-recorded, so you don't have to worry about trying to attend the class live. I teach the class, I do a PowerPoint presentation, we have video clips, ton of information. It's a 14-hour, 7-session online course. You can go at your own pace, and there's 20 hours of bonus content. It's on sale right now, only $50. Watch it as many times as you want. We do with thousands of years of history. We don't just do with 500 years of history. We do about 50,000 years of history in that class. Okay, so they said I'm breaking up. Let's see what's going on. Testing. Okay, it's breaking up. For some reason, it does this after a period of time. All right. So look, we're going to get out of here. Hey, remember at the African History Network, we focus on educating, empowering, and inspiring people of African descent. Okay, sounds like it's clearing up. Did it clear up? How do I sound now? Did it clear up? Also, at our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, you know, we have my bundle packs and my lectures. I have all 35 of my DVD lectures there. We have bundle packs, documentaries, all of that there also, okay? Did it clear up? How's it sound now? Sound like it was testing 1, 2, 3. We have bundle packs, documentaries, all of that there also. Okay, so it cleared up. I don't know what that was. Ace Murray said, thank you for your time and work. Brittany said, wow, didn't you know you had a huge sale on 50% off bundles? Yeah, we have some discounts on our bundle packs. And we have one bundle pack where you get 23 of my presentations for like $150. Kateria said we need you in office. I don't want to run for public office. I'm on the board of Grits and Politics here in Detroit, and we have political forums, things like this, but I really don't want to run for public office, at least not right now. Let's see. Yeah, Denise said Russia already said they're going to hack 2018. This is what they testified on Tuesday. Christopher Wray, FBI director, CIA director, Mike Pompeo, director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats. They're basically saying Russia never left. They said Russia is meddling in the 2018 election right now. They never left. Trump has not taken any direct actions against this. Okay. Let's see here. All right. So, hey, we're on Sundays live, 9 p.m., 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the African History Network show, 9, 10 a.m. Superstation, The Voice of Detroit. We broadcast here on Facebook Live. You can listen, you can read all of my articles at AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. You can listen to the audio podcasts of my shows at AfricanHistoryNetwork.com also. It connects you to our YouTube channel. We have about, 700 video clips there. And also, look out for a video I'll be doing soon dealing with the Black Panther movie. Okay. Contrary to popular belief, the movie The Black Panther is not about the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Okay. But there's a petition from change.org. I posted a couple articles about this on Wednesday. There's a petition from change.org asking for 25% of the worldwide profits from the movie Black Panther from Disney and Marvel Studios to be reinvested in the African-American community. Yeah, some people who are talking about this and saying, oh, they don't owe us anything, why are you begging, blah, blah, blah. You have other right-thinking African-Americans who understand politics, who understand economics, who are saying, yeah, that's a good idea, they should. Even Vivica Fox has come out in support of that. So I'll do another broadcast about that because I find it very interesting how you have some African-Americans who are afraid to make demands of corporate America. Who are afraid to ask for something, right? And if you study Dr. Claude Anderson, one of my teachers, Dr. Claude Anderson, you've seen interviews I've done with him, you've heard interviews I've done with him. Dr. Claude Anderson talks about how we need to renegotiate our relationship with corporate America. How we need to renegotiate our relationship with corporate America. This is an example of that. So I'll do another broadcast dealing with that. The film Black Panther. Debuts nationwide Friday, February 16th. So it's a fantastic. I haven't seen it yet, but reading about it, previews, and people I'm hearing from who did see it, it's a fantastic movie. It's going to blow you away. And the cast, almost all people of African descent, most of them dark-skinned. Most of the sisters are dark-skinned sisters. They have natural hair. This is going to be a powerful, powerful movie. But this movie, even though it takes place in a fictitious African country, this is a huge opportunity in African American History Month for the real teachers of African history to use the enthusiasm of this movie and the attention that this movie would grab to teach African history. That's what real teachers do. Okay? Because you have some people who are saying, oh, what good is this movie going to do, blah, blah, blah. I would ask those same people, what good are you doing? Because when you have this many African Americans, you got over $200 million in pre-ticket sales. Pre-ticket sales. A large percentage of that money is coming from African Americans. You have over $300,000 raised on GoFundMe campaigns to buy tickets for African American school children to go see this movie. So this movie is going to be huge, okay? What's important is that African Americans are positioned to use that movie to teach our history to our children, because this movie will capture their attention, capture their imagination, and it will help to reconnect them to Africa and build pride in Africa when they see African people controlling a nation, controlling the mineral resources in the nation. So now you can connect them to a book like Classical Africa by Dr. Malefe Kete-Asante. You can connect them to the First Americans Were Africans, Documented Evidence by Dr. David Imhotep. Okay? You can connect them to Dr. King. Dr. King talked about the continent of Africa. He talked about the African Liberation Movement. You can connect them to Malcolm X. So this is much more than a movie. Okay? One of the songs that's used in the movie is Gil Scott-Heron. The revolution will not be televised. Well, when you study Gil Scott-Heron, Gil Scott-Heron said that the revolution starts in the mind. It starts with the way you think. It starts with a change in the way you think. Well, your thoughts create feelings, your feelings create actions and behaviors, your actions and behaviors create results. Your thoughts create feelings, your feelings create actions and behaviors, your actions and behaviors create results. What you read, see, and hear affects and impacts the way you think, feel, act, and behave. You can connect them to, now this is Dr. King's first book. So this is Dr. King's last book, because Dr. King wrote 5 books. People need to read his books, because I hear things people say about Dr. King. I can tell you've never studied Dr. King. I can tell by what people say. You have never studied Dr. King. This is his last book. Where do we go from here? Chaos or Community. This was written in 1967. This is his last book. He was assassinated April 4, 1968. So we're coming up on the 50th year anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King. This was Dr. King's first book. Came out in 1958, Stride Toward Freedom, The Montgomery Story. This book is about the Montgomery bus boycott and everything that happened behind the scenes. They just aired the movie this past Sunday on TV1, Behind the Movement. Okay, people need to check that movie out. They'll re-air it, Behind the Movement. That movie is about behind the scenes of the Montgomery bus boycott and the organizing that took place and what happened, the attacks, the bombings of people's homes, like E.D. Nixon, the bombing of Dr. King's home. Okay, and Rosa Parks, after the bus boycott ended, Rosa Parks was ran out of Montgomery, Alabama by white supremacists. She leaves Alabama, comes to Detroit, and she's hired by former representative John Conyers, because white supremacists ran her out of Montgomery, Alabama. Okay, so look, we got to get out of here. Hey, share this broadcast on your own Facebook page. Invite your friends to tune in. Follow our Facebook fan page, The African History Network, The African History Network. If you like this type of information, visit our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. We have a lot of DVD presentations. We have my lectures, documentaries. My latest presentation I did February 3rd, 2018. February 3rd, it is Breaking the Chains, Why We Celebrate Black History Month. Breaking the Chains, Why We Celebrate Black History Month. It deals with the whole history of African American History Month. Dr. Carl G. Woodson, why it was created, et cetera. I deal with dispelling myths in our history, like why the black John Hanson was not president, why Columbus did not discover America. I deal with who was in America tens of thousands of years before Native Americans came into existence. That was African people. We do a lot. It's a 3-hour presentation I did. It's right on the homepage, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. Okay. All right. Hey, remember at the African History Network, we focus on educating, empowering, and inspiring people of African descent throughout the diaspora and around the world, because right knowledge corrects wrong behavior. What you do for yourself, what you do to yourself, and what you allow other people to do to you and get away with is based upon what you think about yourself. What you think about yourself is based upon what you have been taught about yourself. What you have been taught about yourself is based upon everything you've read, heard, and seen about yourself. All right. Remember, right knowledge corrects wrong behavior. It's not over till we win. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.